that God created us with a need to belong. He created us with a need to have relationship with Him. So we have a need among others to belong, and that's what creates our need for approval of them. If we're going to belong, they're going to approve or not approve of us. So.
The one thing that I think is, I think it's a misunderstood or a shallow understanding of what our faith is. Reminded of it, of Hebrews 11:1, when it defines one of the aspects of faith is hope in things not seen. It is that we are looking at the immediate rather than the unseen to get our value from. And so we're not willing to really, maybe not willing, I don't think we realize it fully, that we're really not having the faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God. But
we're looking at
immediate
to get what?
For our... We're looking at the immediate to get our faith. Like, the object of our faith is shallow because we're looking at the immediate for our affirmation, for our trust.
All right.
For whatever you want to call it.
Go ahead, now talk.
Rather than the rewarder of Him who...
Yeah. That's the God part.
But where I'm going, that is that we think we have the God part, but it's so low that we talk in generalities, but when life hits, when things happen, we think of God as... Well, yes, God's there, but we don't make the connection of if we really have faith in God, it's going to drive the lower level, and so we get too easily satisfied, and we don't connect the immediate to God.
Yeah, all right. You guys are solving the puzzle. Stop. So I won't let you solve the puzzle. I want everything he said in there because see what?
Maybe,
what? Come.
Maybe the word was satisfaction.
Yeah. I want your answers. But see, when you do the answers, you go to pastor, he'll say identity. You go to you say, I need to wait more for the fulfillment. I'm just grossly stereotyping, all right? You come to me, and I'm going to tell you, you need this part of God. And then we're going to pontificate about a ton of verses through what we see as the essential problem. What you said there is there's some problem with faith, looking at the immediate for affirmation. What did you just say?
Satisfaction.
For affirmation, for satisfaction. Okay, well, let's just say that. Satisfaction, faction. Okay, and now I'm going to put in parentheses because you'll feel the link here. There's a problem with faith.
Isn't that interesting? I've told you this before. I'm surrounded by people that are saying, I don't trust anyone. All right? I'm told that regularly. I don't trust anybody. You study sociology, you find we're a very cynical culture. Cynical means I'll decide. But see, we're already predisposed to pick holes in what everybody's thinking. We're just predisposed, thinking, can I count? Ed Welch says in his When People Are Making God as Small, he says that we all live behind walls, but our walls have cracks in them.
another one. Well, I don't know. Maybe. Guards, will you let him in? He seems, why don't you come on in here? You belong in my world. But then Paul Tripp said, if we're not careful, once we get into the world, you said, you earn the right to be then hurt and disenchanted. I thought you were different, but you're not. Guards, would you escort him out of my kingdom again? See, faith, we have a problem with faith. If we could figure out this thing on a human level, maybe we'd figure out some on the vertical level, that what he said, and that we're eventually going to work there, because this is its own pyramid here. Okay, what does biblical faith include? Well, it definitely includes trusting in what we can't see. Yes, correct it, because I messed with your words. Somebody give him a mic. Words. I'm sorry, we got Nicole, all right.
Just rather than, it's affirmation slash satisfaction, and then in parentheses, rather than faith.
Okay, looking at me for affirmation
satisfaction. Rather than faith. It's up on the board. It's on the wall.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify that because it twists where I was going. And not that I'm necessarily right, but just...
No.
I wanted to separate the rather than part because it's mixed in the middle there, rather than as a separate thing.
All right. You know what my argument is? Those that have been in the church for a long time, we are so saturated with a bunch of verses that we feel self-righteous in judging the preacher and every other Christian in here according to how we view things. I'll tell you what, there's a reason why most of the intimate and messy things are being outsourced outside of the church. It is not just because we don't trust, and yes, when we're professional, we go, well, you're not professionally qualified to handle this. I'll tell you what, it's why we appreciate CCEF, because they have the professionals, they have all the tags. David Paulison has more tags than you want, plus he's in heaven, so that means he's right, okay? I'm kidding. But they are working very hard with those tags to enable Joe and Jill church member to do more of the soul care, not just the professionals. The rest of the world is pulling us out toward only the professionals, saying we have no business dealing with the soul care of others, okay? That's going right in contradiction. It's putting the Apostle Paul in the early church in a draconian age and saying, because you didn't have an iPhone, therefore you have no business telling us how we ought to handle our soul-level problems. I believe that while we look at the experts, they are helpful, but they are under the same Christ, and they do not run the way that things go inside of the church. You have what you need to deal with whoever's in your household that seems impossible. You have what you need. In a broken way inside this church, there's enough stuff. If we had our identity fixed in Christ, if we had our understanding of faith right, in a broken way, we could help each other in here more than we are willing to admit. We are part. This is God's means for how to work with us. So, rather than faith. Good. Thank you. Who was next? Nicole? And then, go ahead.
So,
what's under fear man approval, need for approval?
It's where is the weight of consequences? I feel the weight of the consequences of the world I'm in, that people won't like me, that I might get arrested, that I might be put to death. I'm feeling the weight of that uncomfortableness in the now, and I'm not feeling the consequences of eternity.
Did you hear that? Where's the weight of the consequences? It was Cindy. That's right. Am I the only one? See, you guys are going to have fun with this. You'll agree with me when I'll say, when I finish these conversations, I think, why did I say that? Why didn't I just shut up? Well, I wish I would have said this, right? I'm loud. I do that. And part of this is I'm hanging myself so that, go ahead, take shots at me. And then will you realize, will you let others take shots at you like that? I didn't mean I'm right, but in order to fix this, we're going to have to take shots at it, all right? I've told you the best youth group examples happen downstairs. The hardest thing is to learn how to come up with games, ideas, Bible study, growth things. The hardest thing is to come up with new ideas. You know how we do it? Everybody brainstorms. Well, you know when what happens? When you brainstorm, that's just the first collection that we threw on the wall. You know what we do then? We throw as many holes as we can. We tear those ideas apart. If your identity is tied to your ideas, then you're done. We have to work through that for a long time. A lot of defensiveness, well, fine, I won't give any answers, fine, all you do is trash it anyway. But you know what happened? When you keep working at those ideas and tearing them apart, somebody's remembering a piece that somebody else is forgetting. You know what comes out of that? Is something that's very useful for the group to get toward the goals. Okay? We're not just saying it takes a community. We are saying, and there does need to be trained people. That's also what we're arguing for, okay? In a day when pastors are more known for their celebrity status and for their ability to do a TED talk, we're looking for under-shepherds, ones who will care for souls, all right? Remember when I went to school, some of the most learned professors were the boring ones. Why'd they get all the money? And they don't get it. No, that's not fair. They didn't often get a lot of money in Christian seminary. But why were they getting paid? For what they knew, not how they presented it. For what they knew. We need to care more about the substance than we do about the personality and about the tone and the timing, all right? So she's saying, where is the weight of the consequences? When we're looking for approval, you're very conscious that if I say this, they're going to laugh at me. If I say this, they're going to follow me. At what price did you gain their acceptance? And what happens if, remember, now you can flow with verses, right? What is, what is acceptable with man? You know, that, whatever, that, I don't know, that is whatever, is against God. I can't quite get that verse in my head. That that looking for the approval of men rather than the approval of God. I can't come up with it. All right, but what happens if you come down here and everybody thought you were a good Christian, you got up there and he said you didn't do what I told you to do. Where is the weight of the consequences? You're going to have to be willing to make a fool of yourself at times and to be able to apologize. Cindy, what are you thinking? Approval.
Hopefully I can express this and collect my thoughts. But, you know, as I was working on my Good Friday message, thinking about pursuing God's kingdom, being free to do that, I think, you know, and running on his resources, I am seeking something for my kingdom. And so I'm trying to achieve, show that I'm a good person. I don't want the other people to think I'm not a good person, because I need something from them for the goal that I'm trying to achieve for my kingdom. I don't know if that's too nebulous, but...
No, I'm going to keep working on it. Go.
So I'm trying to prove myself and trying to live up to their expectations so that I can get... whatever, this approval or show I'm a good person so that they will then be part of what I'm trying to put together for my bigger picture of whatever I'm trying to achieve in my life as far as how I'm trying to make my life work.
Standard and means to what? To have, oh, I don't know, successful life? Life? Wait, just a side note. What do you think makes up a midlife crisis? What does that mean? Blurt it out. What does it mean? The mic won't get to you fast enough. What is it? Stick it there, Merv. What?
Replace pastoring.
What?
With what she was talking about, would it be to get quote, pastoring out of our lives?
Well, posturing in what way? You're posturing, you mean then
well,
I'm...
Well, we so often prop ourselves up in a way to make it look
okay,
good.
Okay, fine.
Than what we really
fine. So, but my
know.
Point, do you, if you follow, and you're not going to follow, if this is a new line of thought, and you don't respect where I'm going, you're not going to dig further, all right? But if you follow where I'm thinking, every one of these answers becomes its own pyramid. Did you hear that? So when he goes, see, now he's figuring out that square word, right? He's saying, well, inside of this is blah, 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 right? All that goes here. Inside of this, all right, the consequence, well, that went up here with this. Inside of where am I going to get my consequences? That, there's a whole bunch to think about there, too. It's like, well, if I blow out my engine and the first lap of the 500, whatever, that Brian and Jim watched, the two different kind of races, you can't get to the end of the race. So I can't blow out my engine. On the other side, if I let everybody pass me and I think, I'm not going to blow out my engine, 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 you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Right? So every one of these things has a whole bunch of things underneath. And my point is, and you say, stop confusing it like this. Well, don't you wonder how we all are right in our own eyes and nobody understands us? And we keep looking, and then we finally go, I found this person. I'm paying them $150 a session, and they get me. I thought, I'll get anybody for $150 a session. I'll get you. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Where's my payment? You're right. Stop. And you say, that's not true. Some of them do know. They know a part, but I'm telling you, if you would humble yourself and be willing to head into this woods where you realize it's a little more complicated, but you can't wait to live. You're going to have to live. And where are we going with this? What is all you dying to say at church? Well, God. God. You're right. God is over all of this. Right? He raises up one king and he puts down another. Who's the king? The person that you can't control. Right? God has no problem lifting up that king and tearing down another. So you know what that means? You can continue playing that game. You know what the hardest thing for me to do is at 1:30, I wish it wasn't then, but when I play that 1:30, when I finally go, you know what, it's too late. I'm going to just leave this. That's hard for me, all right, because I like to finish. But I'm not going to finish and stay up all night. But you know what, that's what worrying is. You staying up all night continuing with what he said, cast all your care on him. You said, but it's still my problem. Yep. After you sleep, get up and you can start it again. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There's your verses, right? So we're going, I'm not getting rid of the verses. I tried to show you this was in the verses beforehand. But now I'm saying, so back to what Cindy said, all right? Every one of us needs to feel like our life was worth something. How do you determine whether your life is worth something? What happens if everybody takes away all the things that you think make life worth something? Can somebody answer that simple question? What is a midlife crisis? What? Go.
It's not what I thought it was going to be.
There you go. My life is not what I thought it was going to be. What were you going to say?
What have I accomplished?
Can you add to this? Midlife crisis. Disillusionment. Disillusion, all right? You just like, yeah, you know, don't worry, be happy. You're like, yeah, right? That's what it is. It's, you know the words. You'll tell everybody else it'll be better tomorrow, and you sit there and go, well, don't you believe it, right? Remember, that's my one 80s song that I like, The Way It Is. That's just the way it is. Some things never change. That's just the way it is. After a while, you just, nothing gets you anymore. You've been there and done that. Put up the Christmas tree, tear it down. Anything else on that? Ellie, go.
Lack of purpose.
You know what, that's what they're saying? The reason the churches are fighting over politics so much is because we didn't have the heaven's mission firmly implanted. then we would fight over politics, but it wouldn't divert from the main mission. We're not saying we shouldn't be involved in politics. We should. But the fact that that went right to the top, COVID went right to the top, I get it. It was strange. I get it. But if we had a mission, you'd be still thinking how to accomplish that mission while we figured out all the rest. It is that lack of unified mission among the people of God that sets us up for all kinds of trouble. See, and so what happens individually in our life, all right? This is why we've said it's the death of the church. People attend a building, but we all have our own opinion of what it is to grow and serve God, and we're not willing to yield that. And if we don't like what we're hearing, we go somewhere else. Instead of thinking, no, he didn't die for you to grow and serve God. He growed for us to grow and serve God. There it is. Us. And you go, that'll never happen. If you finally get to that point, you need to memorize Romans 15. Romans 15 is written to those that think it's impossible for all those that God saves to be able to be of one mind. Romans 15 is written for all those that think it's impossible to be of one mind. Okay, Sheldon, then Sandy.
For me, it's I can tell myself all I want. I need to trust God and His sovereignty. But if I look back on my past, I can see clearly where if I was disapproval to men or approving, it affected my life. There's no way around it. There's people that are mad at me, and within 10 minutes, within 2 days, I have 20 people that are coming at me with something that I said or didn't say. It didn't matter. So I think with certain people, I've become cunning enough to not get their disapproval because I know what would happen if I disapprove. If they disapprove of me, I know what's going to happen.
Right.
And it happens even at job sites. I learn to find the approval of certain people because I know what's going to happen if the disapproval's there.
All right. See, that's its own tree here. Analyze how and with whom I'm interacting. I don't know how to make this better so that you remember, if you can help me with this, because Sheldon has sat there, and I've told you, he's hung himself. He's hung himself in here. And why has he hung himself? Because every time I bring up what he says, I've asked him, am I okay? And I'm counting on him to say, John, that one went a little far. I'm asking you to do that if I hang you too much. Because the problem isn't what he said here in church. The problem is the tighter you get to know Sheldon, the more you look into all the rest of the areas of his life. And as you look into the rest of the areas of his life, you just heard what happens. He reacts to when others don't approve of him. He's the only one that does that. But he does that. Right? So that means you might be okay with this Sunday school conversation, but you've already nailed him to the wall for something else. Does Sheldon have hope that you're ever going to care for his soul, regardless of what's inside of his soul? Which is why some people say, I'm never giving a testimony. I'm never going to speak up in here because everybody will judge you. They're just as judgmental as you are. You need to realize, and this is why some of you are quieter, I get it. Some of you take a time to think. Some of you, I so appreciate, come up to me afterwards and said, you know, here's what I was thinking. I can't formulate it fast. My brain freezes when in a group like this. But they're thinking on it. This is not to be the end of the discussion. This is the beginning that's supposed to stir among us, and it spins back, and then we apply the word. Wait, what's the goal of this Sunday school? See, this is the engine room, all right? You know what we do as a church? We sit and worship under the word of God. That's what we're going to do here in 15 minutes. We're going to just take a naked passage of Scripture, and we're going to behold our God, and we're going to worship him. And when we see how holy he is, we see how we are not. And when you see how you are not, what do? You repent. What is repent? You acknowledge, you confess your sin. And what is your only hope of reconciliation with Jesus, with your sin? Jesus. That's what we're celebrating today, right? And then what do after you confess your sin? You get up and you follow Jesus. That's what you do. That's what you do with your devotions. But see, when we come to these messes, See, a fear of man. See, after a while, we talk in general terms. I struggle with pride. I struggle with worry. I struggle with, and if we're not careful, if you don't open up and figure out where you struggle, how you struggle, with whom you struggle, like Sheldon said, what we use to get smart enough to stay out of the crosshairs of everybody else. If you won't hold that up for examination, you're never going to let the gospel have victory over those deepest parts of your soul. You're never going to be helped, no matter how many counselors you go after. So examine how and with whom I'm interacting and what rules I follow to make things work. Make things work. Sandy, what are you thinking? There's so many rabbits out. Follow the one that you were thinking about.
Well, I was thinking when you were talking about we don't trust each other, or
yeah,
people
yeah,
say
don't trust.
There's no
right.
one I have to trust, and there might be a reason behind
you're
that
right.
because we are told there are false prophets and false
right.
leaders out there.
Right.
So, how do we solve that? We solve that by having conversations, but then going, like you said, late. That last part there, go back to his word
right.
and solidify your beliefs through his word, not necessarily. But if we can't have conversations, then we don't know if there is something that we've been misled by before.
All right. You hear this? A whole pile of us will say, well, if you have a problem with me, just come and tell me. No, because you're not like God. You're going to decide that wasn't. How do you forgive? When will you let me off the hook? When do I let you off the hook? There's all these rules, and I would much rather trust the one who is holy. Sandy and I will be able to get deeper and deeper, not if we talk and work things out here. We'll talk and work things out, but both of us better run back to God. We trust God. A healthy dose of mistrust with each other will actually save the relationships in here. A healthy dose of mistrust. If you realize I'm a sinner, she's a sinner. So therefore, in spite of our best attempts, we're going to struggle to be of one mind. Because where does that come? That's back to what Pastor said. That's your identity with Christ. May they be one as we are. Who's the we? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When's the last time you tried to explain the Trinity to somebody? Were you comfortable with your... You said, no, I have it perfectly. I figured it out. How to explain... It blows my mind. That's how one we're supposed to be. That's why marriage, right? One flesh. You're never... It's a picture. It's never as close as the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He died to make us one with him. Your hope is with him. Then from that position, I can go back and say, whoa, Sandy, instead of going, woo, what did I do to, woo, where did that come from? And I realize Sandy's seen plenty of other people. Sandy's tried, or John David's seen plenty of other. He's tried, and there's a lot of junk to go through. When I realize it isn't personal, I'm able to look to God and say, woo, help me to care for Sandy's soul. It's in there somewhere. Help you to care for John David's soul. It's in there somewhere. Sheldon, right around this room, until each one of us is cared for. You don't get to demand that care. You get that care from God and give it. All right? I want to move on next week, but I'm trying. I wish somebody would say, I have no clue what you're talking about. Fine, then we'll work on it. A bunch of you say, I have no clue and I don't want to have a clue. I have a problem with you. In no way are you letting the elders shepherd your heart then. The point isn't you don't have to see it the way exactly we're seeing it. You have to see maybe there's something in here that would help us to get the gospel in a way, not just that'll help us, but that will help us together. It is complicated. There is one constant, and that is God. So what do you do in the meantime? You leave your nets, and you follow him. So, Lord, would you help us? Would you help us as we work here? This is just one issue, and it seems abstract. We call it the fear of man, but it's the place that we think of our worth. It's why we don't want to deal with people. It's why we only trust a couple people. It's why we think it gets too messy the more personalities and backgrounds that we put involved. Help us, Jesus. This isn't something that's going to be solved overnight. It's something that has to be considered. Thank you for every tool that you've given us, every leading that you've given us to help us to look to your word, to help us to come to church, to help us to have some Christian beside ourselves that we interact with. Would you help us then to go back to your word? And slowly, Father, until we're with you, we're always going to have some of this wrong. We're not going to get it right, because now we see in a mirror dimly, then face to face. Now we know in part, and then we shall know fully, even as we are fully known. You know us. You love us. You care. So, Father, would you work, help at that to be the foundation from which we attempt to love our neighbor as ourself? We come in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.